we learn it. Of course, Vyasadeva's an incarnation of the personality of Godhead for compiling the Vedas, literary incarnation of the Lord. But in addition to being vastly learned, Uddhava is very confidential and intimately related with Krishna. So we discussed all those things this morning. And he's literally, he's pouring out his heart, because before he spoke, he was asked a number of questions by Vidura about Krishna. Very much like the sages of Naimisharanya in the first canto, they wanted to hear from Suta Goswami about Krishna. They wanted to hear Krishna Katha. And what happened was immediately Suta Goswami began speaking about the Pandavas, because those who are in relation to Krishna are, that's also Krishna Katha, because there's nothing in the lives of the Pandavas that's anything but Krishna. So speaking about the Pandavas is speaking about Krishna. But when Uddhava was asked to speak about Krishna, he practically lost it. He just went into a trance. And according to our acharyas, he went to the spiritual world and was at the lotus feet of Krishna in the spiritual world. And those very same, Jiva Goswami explains, those very same associates of Krishna, the eternal associates of Krishna that also departed before Krishna departed by his own arrangement at Prabhas Kshetra, the fratricidal war that took place, where they were all, the Yadus destroyed the Yadus, and they went with Krishna. Because they're completely absorbed and attached to Krishna. So Uddhava is, according to the grammar, Uddhava is, in his reply, he's speaking not past tense, but present tense. They're with Krishna. You follow? Previously, they were with Krishna in Dwarka. Krishna's gone, and he's speaking now present tense, they're with Krishna. Wherever Krishna is, because they're so absorbed in Krishna, and he's behind to tell about it. Something like after Ram returned to Ayodhya in the spiritual realm with his 60,000 associates, Hanuman was to stay behind and tell the world about Ram, which he's still doing in great separation. And so Uddhava is also feeling great separation. And he's disclosing not only his feelings, but through his feelings, his devotion unto Krishna, he knows all about Krishna. And he's saying so many wonderful things about Krishna. So where we began this morning was in chapter 2, Remembrance of Lord Krishna. Uddhava speaks about Krishna's appearance, because what is on his mind and what he's spoken previously is Krishna's disappearance. Krishna's gone. And he's feeling devastated. All those who had any relationship with Krishna, they're also feeling devastated. And he's describing then that person who is now gone. So I wanted to read again, because it's such a nice verse, text 12, because there's also some commentary by Jiva Goswami. So this is just churning the topic a little bit more by taking the assistance of our acharyas. Text 12 from chapter 2. The Lord appeared in this mortal world by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. Right? Krishna appears by his... He doesn't need some external agency. He appears whenever he likes to. Srijam Yaham. he manifests himself, and he does so through the agencies of his own potencies, his Yogamaya potency. So in contrast, we don't do that. We don't decide, okay, I think I'll take birth now. And I think I'll take birth over there. And this will be my mother and father, and I'll have this gender, and I'll have this name, and I'll have this intelligence, and these qualities and abilities. Hmm. It doesn't happen like that. By force of the laws of nature, our karma and our guna determined where we take birth and when and if and so forth. But in Krishna's case, it's his own internal potency, by his own sweet will and his own potencies. No assistance from anybody else. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone. Even those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself in the form of Lord of Vaikuntha. Lord of Vaikuntha was amazed. There's this whole lila towards the end of the 10th canto where Mahavishnu stole, he's a thief too, he stole the property of a brahmana. The sons of a brahmana. Many of the sons he kidnapped. Whoa! Kidnapper. Not just a thief. He stole the 8 sons of a brahmana in Dwarka just so that he could get to see Krishna, because he knew what the brahmana would do. The brahmana would be proud. And he began insulting Ugrasena. What kind of king is this? Ugrasena. And his relative Krishna, so-called powerful person, can defeat everybody. He can't even protect the sons of a brahmana. What kind of king is this? He began speaking openly like that. And when Arjun heard that kind of talk, he was visiting in Dwarka once. And when he heard that speak against that speech, a kind of talking from a brahmana against Ugrasena and Krishna, he came to the brahmana and said, "My dear brahmana, I take a vow. Your next son, no one will touch, or I will give up my life." And when Arjuna takes a vow, he keeps his vow. So when the son was to be born, the next child was to be born, Arjuna mystically, with arrows, made a whole covering over the house with arrows that was impenetrable. Even Arjuna couldn't get in. And nobody could get out. And after the next son was born, they didn't just die. They disappeared. And the Brahman is calling from inside this mystical house, "Let me out of here. My son is gone. What kind of fool are you? Big bluffer, braggart, boasting, just like Krishna." Ooh. So Arjuna was astonished. Invincible arrows. How is this possible? So he searched and he searched and he searched throughout the whole of creation. And he couldn't find the son of the brahmana. So he decided to keep the other part of his vow. He was going to give up his life. Built a big blazing fire at the side of one of the sacred rivers and was about to enter in the fire, and Krishna came. "Stop! I know where the son of the brahmana is. Let's go. Let's go get him." "Oh, you know where he is? Where is he?" "Mahavishnu kidnapped him." "Let's go to the abode of Mahavishnu." So they got on the celestial chariot that carried them through all the planetary systems, through the covering of the universe. It's a really amazing description, traveling through the covering of the universe. On the other side, brilliance of the Brahmajyoti, even though Mahavishnu is within the material creation, each of the universes is floating on the causal ocean, and above that is the Jyoti. In any case, they came to the abode of Mahavishnu and said, "Oh, I have the sons of the Brahmana. Sure, here they are. You can take them back with you. I just wanted to have your darshan. And I knew that you would come to protect your devotees, your devotee Arjun. I knew it would happen. So here's the sons back." So as Uddhava is saying here, even the direct expansion of Krishna, Mahavishnu, or the Lord of Vaikuntha, Narayana, he appreciates the original form of Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. He, Krishna, is the ornament of all ornaments. So I want to read a little bit what Jiva Goswami has to say about that. Nice discussion from Purijan's book, Unveiling His Lotus Feet. Jiva Goswami comments on this text in his Priti Sandarbha as follows. The Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yoga Maya, and his eternal form is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone. Oh, this is the translation. Even those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself in his other forms. Thus his transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. The phrase Yoga Maya Balam, what does Balam mean? Strength. Means that Krishna appeared by his own spiritual power, his Chit Shakti. In the verse Darshayata means his appearance manifested his glories and opulence. And also Vishmapanam means that these glories filled the sages and philosophers with wonder, because the sages and philosophers had never seen a form as wondrous as Krishna. So the coming verses is also, they'll be discussing the beauty of Krishna's form. The beauty of Krishna's form was that it was the ornament of ornaments. And when the gopis, we discussed this morning, the gopis saw the form of Krishna. Whoa! Completely captivated. Completely stole the hearts of the gopis. Because he's not only beautiful, but he's Krishna. He's attracting the hearts of all, especially those that are attracted to him. Then Jiva Goswami raises a doubt. Krishna may be glorious and opulent, but aren't his ornaments the cause of his auspiciousness? Srila Jiva Goswami explains that in this verse, he addresses the doubt. Uddhava addresses the doubt. Krishna's own body is the ornament of all ornaments. In other words, ornaments are beautified by their proximity to Krishna. Someone may then ask, what is Sri Krishna's form like? The answer, his spiritual form superficially resembles that of a human being, but actually it is so glorious that even Lord Vishnu yearns to see it. So, the focus is now upon the beautiful form of Krishna. I mean, it just started with a conversation. How is Krishna and how are Balaram? You know, like you might say, you know, how are your mom and dad? You just get absorbed in this conversation about, oh, my mom and my dad, and in a swoon of ecstasy. This is Uddhava in relation to Krishna. The personality, so this is text 15, chapter 2 from Canto 3. The personality of Godhead, the all-compassionate controller of both the spiritual and material creations, is unborn. But when there is friction between his peaceful devotees and persons who are in the material modes of nature, he takes birth just like fire, accompanied by the Mahatattva. Sounds like a standard kind of nice eulogy of Krishna. But how the poetry of the Bhagavatam, there's, Prabhupada explained like this, that there are 26 qualities of a devotee. What's the, of the 26 qualities of a devotee, there's one quality amongst the 26 that's foremost, or svarup lakshana, and the other are marginal, or tatastha lakshana. Lakshana means characteristic. And tatastha, we know that because the living entity is tatastha, or marginal potency. So tatastha lakshana, they're marginal characteristics of a devotee. And one of them is poetic. Kavi. Like Kavi Karnapur, or Krishnadas Kavi Raj. Kavi means learned or poetic. So that's a marginal characteristic. And the principal characteristic is Krishna Eka Sharana. Very easy to understand. Krishna Eka Sharana. They're surrendered unto Krishna alone. Right? Krishna Eka Sharana. And from that one, all other qualities follow. And one of those qualities is poetic. So supposing you're a pure devotee, just imagine, close your eyes and imagine being a pure devotee of Krishna. Okay, I'm trying. And you're just attached to Krishna alone. And in fact, you're experiencing Krishna. You're seeing Krishna. Your heart is bursting with love for Krishna. And you want to describe the object of your love to others. How you want to describe Krishna to others? You have to describe through poetry. Poetry in the sense that Krishna is like this. Krishna is like that. Because whatever you might say, it's less. But to give an idea of what Krishna is like, then he's like something that's within your experience, and he's beyond your experience. Prabhupada gives this example. The poet might say, or someone might say, do you see the moon? No, I don't see the moon. Well, you see the tree right there? And you look through the branches of the tree, and over there is the moon. You see? Now, so you're identifying the position of the moon through the branches of the tree. But it's not that the moon is hanging from the branches of the tree, or is in the branches of the tree. It's just, look over in that direction. You get the idea, it's over there. So there's the sea right there, there's the moon. In the branches of the tree. So, the alankar is what it's called in Sanskrit, or the literary ornaments are metaphor and simile. There's others, alliteration. We learn these in, you know, ninth grade English class. So, they're ornaments. They're parts of grammar and speech. And it's, you know, this, in Sanskrit, it's yatha, tata. As this, so that. When you see those two combinations, aha, there's a metaphor. As this, so that. And there's many, they don't exactly say yata, tata, but they just make the statement that the smile of Radharani is as cooling as millions of moons. So like or as, grammatically, that's a simile or metaphor. But it's poetic. What's millions of moons and the cooling soothingness of millions of moons? We don't have the experience of millions of moons. And Krishna's smile is more soothing and cooling than millions of moons. So we have the experience of one moon. And then amplify that by millions, and Krishna is more than that. But just to give you an idea of Krishna, you use poetry. So the Bhagavatam is describing Krishna. And Uddhava is the speaker. He is Krishna Ekasharana. He doesn't have any shelter other than Krishna. And he's describing Krishna. So he's describing Krishna through metaphor. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is also Krishna Ekasharana, he's not imagining himself to be a pure devotee of Krishna. He's a pure devotee of Krishna. And he's describing Krishna. He's describing Uddhava's experience of Krishna. So, here's here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's rendering of what we just read. Being compassionate in mind, so that's one of Krishna's qualities. Being compassionate in mind, the Sanskrit is anukampitatma. Anukampitam is compassion. And, you know, within the soul of his being, of course, Krishna is the supreme soul, so he's supremely compassionate. With his supreme compassion upon all, feeling great compassion, when his devotees are afflicted by the demons, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, though not having material birth, appears within this world, along with all his Vishnu expansions. Since he is the Lord of all the forms of God and the Devatas. Commentary. So now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is paraphrasing the doubt. Who is this Krishna? I've heard so many descriptions of Krishna. I've heard this, I've heard that, I've heard the other thing. Why this emphasis upon Krishna? So here's how he says. But from your mouth, we hear that Vaikuntha Narayan came and appeared in Vasudeva's house. Correct? Who appeared in the prison house of Kamsa? Vasudeva, Krishna, or Narayana. Forearm form with the symbols of Vishnu or Narayan in his hand. We heard it. We also heard that the ancient Lord took a black and white hair. You've heard the story. Krishna and Balaram from Lord Vishnu, a white hair and a black hair, and they became manifest as Krishna and Balaram. There's a story in the Puranas like that. That Krishna expands from Shiradakshaya Vishnu. That's in the scriptures. So that might seem to say that, well, Shiradakshaya Vishnu is the original source and Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu. Seems like. And we've also heard that he expands from Narayan. Or Vamana And we also hear that Krishna, with human pastimes, is situated in Dwaraka and other places as the highest form, Purushottama. Right? Purusha Uttama. So what is the real truth? This is discussed also in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Kaviraj Krishnadas. Some say this, some say that, some say the other thing, and they're all scripturally based, and they get, some persons get really invested in, yeah, this is it. Or as others say, no, this is it. And others say, no, neither of you are right, this is it. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says they're all right. And here's how. Here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I hope you're following this. Who is Krishna? Why talk about Krishna? Why this emphasis upon Krishna, you Hare Krishna folks? Here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Krishna is the Lord of the Narayana forms, or Para, beyond Prakriti. Para means transcendental. So there's Prakriti. What's Prakriti? Material nature. And Para Prakriti is transcendental. Krishna has his internal potency. That's Para Prakriti. But Prakriti is under the direction of the controller of Prakriti, or Purusha. Right? Or the energy and the energetic. That which is controlled and the controller of that which is controlled. So, Narayana, Paro Vyaktat. You've heard that one before. That's Shankaracharya. Narayana is beyond Prakriti. And who is Narayana? There's Vedic statements that say Krishna is the Lord of Narayana. Just like in the previous verse, even the Lord of Vaikuntha wishes to have darshan of Krishna. He admires, adores, and worships Krishna. Although they're the same. One is the expansion of the other, so one can say they're the same. You with me? Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had this discussion, I'll make it short because it can be a whole discussion in itself. When visiting in Sri Rangam, which is presided over by Sri Vaishnavas, who worship Narayana as supreme, but they understand that Krishna and Narayana are non-different. We also understand Krishna and Narayana are they non-different. So, one evening, when Lord Chaitanya was having discussions with the chief priest of Sri Rangam, whilst residing in his home for 4 months of the rainy season, Venkatabhata, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, "The goddess of fortune is supremely chaste." Oh yes, she's supremely chaste. "Then why is it that she left the lotus feet of Narayana and wanted to go enter the rasa dance of Krishna?" That doesn't sound so chaste, does it? He didn't say that, but he said there's no discrepancy because Narayana and Krishna are the same. She's worshipping with complete chastity and fidelity the lotus feet of Narayana. But Krishna is the same. So there's nothing unchaste in her behavior. But Lord Chaitanya said, "That's correct. I agree. But since there's no difference between Narayana and Krishna, which we both agree on, why she was not able to enter into the rasa dance with Krishna? In fact, she, the goddess of fortune, underwent austerities for thousands of years. The goddess of fortune underwent austerities to achieve something. For thousands of years, and she was still not allowed to enter the rasa dance. Please explain." Narayana and Krishna are the same. But she was unable to enter the rasa dance. Venkatabhasa said, I don't know. But I'm sure you know. Perhaps you can explain. So Lord Chaitanya explained that although Narayan and Krishna are the same, the mood, I am the goddess of fortune, the husband of Lord Narayan, worshipping the Lord in Aishwarya Bhav, that's it. That mood, that bhav, doesn't mix with the mood of Vrindavan, where the rasa dance is performed. The mood of Vrindavan, where the rasa dance is performed, is madhurya, sweetness. So, and even if you're the goddess of fortune, without getting the mercy of the residents of Vrindavan, where sweetness predominates, you can't enter into the rasa dance. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. So what Uddhava has just said is this original form, the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is just suitable for his pastimes, for giving compassion. The topmost compassion, what's that topmost compassion? Entrance into the pastimes of Vrindavan. Because when he comes to all of his associates, and associates give their association and the goddess of fortune and all types of people. Even Putana. Wicked demoness Putana wanted to kill Krishna because of Krishna appearing. And when Putana saw the beautiful form of Krishna, she had some motherly affection, this beautiful child. And then, let me kill him. That's the bad part. So Krishna reciprocated, and her life was taken. All her sins were eliminated, but that feeling, that slight feeling of motherly affection, Krishna accepted. And she attained a position after that life of Putana in the Goloka Vrindavan realm as one of the eternal assistants of Mother Jasoda, as a mother of Krishna, because she had some motherly, little motherly feeling towards Krishna. How merciful is Krishna? So this Anukampitatma was being manifested by Krishna when he appeared, who is the Lord of the Narayan forms beyond Prakriti. Krishna is the Lord of Brahma, as mentioned in this verse, Avara, all others, who is Swayam Bhagavan. What's the meaning of Swayam Bhagavan? Because it's used in the first canto, chapter 3, to identify out of all the forms of Vishnu that appear in this world, amongst all of them, one is the original Personality of Godhead. That's what this Swayam Bhagavan, the self-same Personality of Godhead, as opposed to expansions of Krishna, is Swayam Bhagavan, the original Bhagavan, Personality of Godhead. Krishna is endowed with such forms as Mahavishnu, the creator of the Mahat Tattva, and Angshas like Matsya, Kurma, Nrihari, Nara, Narayan, and Vamana. These are avatars of Vishnu. And Vishnu is an expansion or a portion of a plenary portion, Kala, in the language of Sri Brahma Samhita, of Govinda, the Personality of Godhead. When the devotees, now listen, this is especially interesting. When the devotees are afflicted by the demons, Krishna, whose mind is full of compassion, appears in the world, although he is unborn, without material birth. According to the Shruti, the Lord is called Mahat. Here's the Shruti verse from Katha Upanishad. Mahan, mahantam vibrama atmam matva dhiras na shochati. Knowing the Lord as the producer of the Mahatattva, the wise person does not lament. What does that mean? Knowing that the Lord is the producer of Mahat, the wise person does not lament. Whatever you see, it's a feature of the external energy. So you may not like this version of the external energy, you may like that version. But sometimes it's this version instead of that version. This configuration instead of that configuration. So I don't like this configuration, I want that configuration. But you're not the controller of this or that configuration, it is what it is. But it's okay, because the person behind it all is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So just take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you can be equal to whatever the configuration is. Be equal towards pebbles or stone or gold. Be equal to happiness and distress. Be equal in cold and heat and pleasure and pain and all varieties of duality, when you can remain very calm, very happy, very peaceful, if you have that shelter. If you don't have that shelter, then you have the happiness and distress program. And if you haven't been keeping score, those that have, note that there's much more distress than there is happiness. There's one devotee that works for the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and I don't know what it is in Hindi, but you know, it's a little happiness and mostly distress. If I said the Hindi, you would all recognize a whole explanation with detailed, you know, just facts and figures about how much distress there is in this world. It's one of the, that's our topic this evening, actually. So, if you have shelter of the Personality of Godhead, whatever the configuration is of duality, the prakriti, the mahat, it's coming from the Supreme Lord. Just take shelter of the Supreme Lord and you're safe. Just like a child in the lap of their mother. Just the child is, whatever is going on out there, if I'm in the lap of my mother, I feel safe. He is just like fire. That this is another metaphor, poetic imagery. Krishna, like fire, suddenly appears when the demons are giving difficulty to the devotees. It means he's always there. It's just there's a prompt for his appearance. So here's the explanation. He is eternally present. Just as fire is eternally present in the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, so wherever there's material creation, there's some fire. Maybe less degree, maybe a greater degree, but there's some fire. When jewels or stones are rubbed, fire comes out. Like a spark, you know. Take two stones and go, pew! Pew! Just make, you know, very sharp, striking sound. It's just stones. But you get a spark, and from the spark, you get a fire. Or jewels. Get fire. So where'd the fire come from? It's just stones. Or jewels. So, as fire is already everywhere, it just becomes manifest when there's the striking of stones or jewels. So, Krishna manifests when there's the situation where the demons are giving trouble to the devotees. So, we don't mind if demons are giving trouble to the devotees. Krishna! He will appear. That's the faith of the devotee. He is eternally present in his abodes, such as Mathura, when his devotees in Mathura, like Vasudeva and Ugrasena, are afflicted, by Krishna's Kripa Shakti, which is like the friction that produces fire, the Lord becomes visible. Nice. He's explaining the metaphor. Like fire, Krishna appears. Then he gives another metaphor, very beautiful. Rising like the sun in the eastern direction, Devaki, the mother of Krishna, on Sunrise Mountain, he puts in capital letters, Sunrise Mountain or Mathura. Krishna appears in Mathura from the womb of Devaki. Then he also disappears in Prabhas, in the, what does he call it? The Sunset Mountain. Sunrise Mountain? Sunset. So is the sun taking birth when it arises on the western or eastern horizon? And is it going out of existence? Is it dying when it disappears on the western horizon in Prabhas? He's poetically describing Krishna's departure, which has just happened. And he's feeling great sorrow. But he's expressing it in such beautiful poetry. And in between, he extinguishes the cause of the friction. The evil persons, similar to darkness. And because in the metaphor, he's like the sun. So what happens when the sun comes and there's darkness? Darkness is dispelled. Darkness can't stand when there's light. If it's night and you turn the light switch on, the darkness is dispelled. As long as you paid your electric bill. This is really distracting what you're doing here. Can we, you know, do it simpler or just skip it? Just keep it quiet. Good. So there's two other images that are within the Sanskrit of the verse. There's lotuses. And the lotuses are compared to religious persons. And then there's devotees, and they're compared to chakravaka birds. What's a chakravaka bird? They only, when they're thirsty, they'll only drink water that's falling from the sky. They won't take water that's fallen to the sky from a pond or a reservoir of water. They fly in the air, and they're waiting for some water to come down from the air, and that's the only water they take. So as chakravaka birds live by that descending mercy, so the devotees are fully dependent upon the mercy of Krishna. They're chakravaka bird-like. And then there's the religious persons. They're like the lotuses. They take the water that's fallen into the ponds, and they're taking that mercy in another way. So for the religious persons and the devotees that are in a situation of distress, Krishna descends. So don't worry about distress. It's okay. Krishna will manifest himself and pacify the hearts of such a shelter-taking devotee. And then he disappears at Sunset Mountain or Prabhas Kshetra. So Krishna is likened to the sun who appears suddenly because the devotees are in distress. And when the distress has now been removed, the son of Krishna has disappeared. In this way, the example of the sun is a suitable comparison with Krishna's appearance and disappearance. It clearly shows how the Lord is present in his abode and makes his appearance. He is not Narayan coming from Vaikuntha, nor is he Shirodakshayi coming from the milk ocean, nor is he Nara, Narayan, or Vamana coming from their abodes to make an appearance in this world. though all these forms have their eternal abodes, when Krishna appears, he comes with all of these angsas, his partial expansions, since they merge within Krishna. The Lord of them all, Paravaresha, that's another word in the Sanskrit here. Thus all doubts are resolved. This is in accordance with the statements of the sages. So, with the assistance of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we've just gotten a very beautiful poetic description of who is Krishna by his imagery, helping us to understand Krishna's position. Krishna has this section is describing that Krishna has a all spiritual form. It's not born of material ingredients. It's not created by Lord Brahma or any other entity. Krishna appears by his own spiritual potency. When he comes, it's simply his compassion, and his compassion is prompted by a conflict between the devotees and the non-devotees, the demons that are harassing the devotees. That's the prompt, and Krishna appears, like Lord Srinadeva making his appearance, or Vamana making his appearance, or any of the forms of Lord making their appearance. It's to bring solace and shelter and protection into the lives of his loving devotees. But once again, the emphasis that Uddhava is making is out of all the forms of the Lord. This is the original personality of Godhead. This is part of the construction or the composition of the Bhagavatam. Because going back to the first canto, one of the questions of the sages to Sutta Goswami was, please describe those forms of the Lord as they appear in this world. So he has, in chapter 3, he describes a variety of incarnations, which are explained further in the rest of the Bhagavatam. And now, Uddhava is being very specific, as Sutta Goswami is specific, amongst all those forms of the Lord that appear, one of them is the original. And here, in poetic imagery, he's saying the same. Krishna is the original personality, Godhead. He's just appeared, and he's just left. And the Ugrasena, and all of the other persons that Vidur, you've just asked about, they've gone with him. They are fortunate. And we're most unfortunate. He's feeling that, but he's actually most fortunate. Because he's steeped, absorbed completely in love for Krishna. But in that love for Krishna, part of intensification of love is feelings of separation. So we'll say it backwards. Don't become attached to Krishna. Because if you become attached to Krishna, you know what's going to happen? You'll have feelings of separation from Krishna. And when you have feelings of separation from Krishna, in the material perspective, it may look like pain. Although, in the spiritual perspective, it's ecstasy. So don't become attached to Krishna. Because you'll have so much love for Krishna that when you're not seeing him for a moment, one moment will appear like 12 years or more. So don't do that. Don't become attached to Krishna. Or as Rupa Goswami writes in Padyavali, if you at all, my dear friend, if you at all are attached to family life, don't go to the river Jamuna by Keshi Ghat. Don't go there. Because there's this small boy. His name is Govinda. And when he plays upon his flute, you'll forget everything about your material attachments and absorptions. and everything will be lost, so don't go there. Which is a reverse glorification, that Krishna is so kind, so loving, so attractive, that when he calls his devotee to come to him, they're so drawn by the attraction of the all-attractive that their interest in worldly duality fades quickly. And then love becomes situated on the transcendental platform. Those who one is closely associated with, the affinity goes completely to the spiritual platform in relation to Krishna. Just like Uddhava. Uddhava is a relative of Vidura. That members of the royal family, they're related to one another. And so, he's with Krishna in the spiritual world. But he came back from the spiritual world just to be with Vidura, to answer his questions. And his answer for questions was to talk about Krishna. So, in service to his dear relative, he's speaking about Krishna in amazing mood of great separation and very, very beautiful poetry, describing Krishna in such a nice way. And my goodness, this is only the third canto of the Bhagavatam. Well, it gets really rolling. Okay, so any discussion on this nice glorification by Uddhava, by Krishna? Yes?
Maharaj, why do the different incarnations appear in the body of Krishna when he appears? What is the purpose?
Well, you're asking purpose, not you're asking how? You're asking why?
Do they want to observe Krishna's pastime?
No, they're serving Krishna. Just like, for example, when Krishna kills the demons, it's the Vishnu aspect of Krishna that's killing the demons. Or when Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita, it's not the Swayam Bhagavan feature of Krishna that's speaking Bhagavad Gita, it's an aspect of Krishna that's presenting Bhagavad Gita, and so forth. But he's everything. So they're interested in serving him in some capacity. Then Krishna is the avatari, he is the source of all avatars, so it's not exactly purpose-driven, it's just who Krishna is. Krishna is the sum bonum. He's the sum total of everything, spiritual and material, and his own personal expansions and everything. It's all within him. And some feature may be exhibited, some feature may not be exhibited, according to the circumstance. It's like when Brahma stole the calves and the cowherd boys, and Krishna manifested the calves and the cowherd boys. And they looked just like the calves and the cowherd boys, so much so that even the mothers couldn't tell, this isn't my son. Could you imagine? Your son comes home one day and it's not your son? You don't even recognize it? But he who ultimately is the creator of your son can manifest himself as your son. Who knows? Not so likely, but who knows? And the cows couldn't tell that this was not their calf. The only thing they could detect was that their affinity for their son or their calf now became like their affinity for Krishna. And they were amazed. So then Krishna manifested when Brahma came back and saw the calves and the cowherd boys, then he manifested forearm forms of Narayan. Because that's also within Krishna, unlimited, as many as there are calves and cowherd boys. That's all within, because everything is within Krishna. Showing of the universal form. Showing of his forearm form. Showing of his two-arm form. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. So it's not specifically purpose-driven, it's just who is Krishna. The source of everything and everyone. Yes, it's stated right here by Uddhava. Yes. But it's not necessarily purpose-driven. They want to come and like experience Krishna's pastimes, so they merge within the body. It's just, it's their identity. They're of Krishna, so for Krishna's purpose they may be manifested, and Krishna's purpose they may not be manifested. Sri Brahma Samhita makes all of that very clear. Also, those verses of the different expansions of Krishna, whether it's devatas or plenary expansions, they're expansions. And Govinda is the Sarvakarana Karanam, or Adi Purusham, Tamaham Vajami. Yes.
So Maharaj, is this the same way we should understand the different contradictions that happens when say the different incarnations are there in the planet? For example, Ramachandra was sometimes was very valiant and killed out of animals or rakshasas and different things, but Krishna was always protector and things like those. And different incarnations like this, like Parashuram. So what is this contradictions in the way they acted while they were in the
past? It's not contradiction, it's variegatedness. There's not a contradiction.
Apparently they look like contradictions.
No, that doesn't even apparently look like a contradiction to me. It looks like variety. Sometimes this, sometimes that. Ram was also very compassionate. But Ram was very chivalrous. He was, so he's appearing, Ram is appearing to set the example of an ideal king. So he sets the example of an ideal king. And the king stops the demons. He protects the sages. He upholds religious principles. He's the ideal king. Eka Patni Vrata, he's the ideal king. Not a contradiction. His lila is that lila. And Krishna is exhibiting his wonderful pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan in this realm. It's a different purpose. So he's manifesting his pastimes accordingly. They're not contradictions. It's diversity, because in the spiritual world there's diversity. Diversity isn't contradiction. Just like, you know, yourself. You know, somebody sometimes says, would you like some more sabji? And sometimes you say yes and sometimes you say no. Thank you. It's not a contradiction. It's sometimes you're hungry and sometimes you're not hungry. You know, Krishna has diversity. He's unlimitedly diverse. Sometimes, according to circumstance. Yes?
Yeah, Maharaj, you were touching on how, with the advent of Krishna, sometimes there's seemingly contradictory statements and whatnot.
Yes.
Recently, I was listening to a lecture where there's some pramana where Krishna was actually born, Vrindavan Krishna was actually born to Yashoda.
Yes.
Talking about Nanda Maharaj cutting the umbilical cord.
Yes.
So, but our common understanding is, okay, Krishna was born in Mathura. And yes. Unless the umbilical cord went all the way from there to Vrindavan and then kind of So could you explain a little?
Yes, sure. It's in the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, it speaks of Krishna, son of Vasudeva and Devaki. In the, you read carefully in the commentary, in Srila Prabhupada's purports, and he makes reference to what you just described. Not in exactly the cutting of the umbilical cord, but he describes that elsewhere in the scripture, it describes that Mother Yashoda gave birth to twins. And one of those twins was a female, and another of the twins was a male. One was born first, the other was born second. But when Vasudev came and brought Vasudev Krishna, this is one description found, that Vasudev Krishna merged into the body of Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. And Vasudev took the female twin and carried the female twin back to the prison house of Kamsa. So simultaneously, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna was born as the son of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, and simultaneously, Vasudev Krishna was born as the son of Vasudev and Devaki, and that Vasudev Krishna merged with the body of Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. That's one description found in our scripture. So I don't know anything about umbilical cords.
Yeah, I don't know where it is. There was also some talk or some praman where Nanda Maharaj actually got the...
Because Krishna doesn't require an umbilical cord. Because he doesn't have a material body.
Right.
Right? He appeared in the mind of Vasudev. It was transferred to the mind of Devaki and then entered the womb of Devaki. But no mention of umbilical cord that I'm aware of, because Krishna doesn't have a material body. Umbilical cords are needed for that.
Yeah, this is some praman that Madhavananda Prabhu had when he was...
Okay. Well, one should be careful with this praman and that praman, huh?
Okay.
We take ones from our acharyas, and we don't take ones that our acharyas have left aside. Because from some tamasic or rajasic puranas, our Vaishnava acharyas may take that which is sattvic and leave the rest, because they're paramahansas. They can take milk from a mixture of water, because they have the qualification to do that. And that those that don't have the qualification to do that should be very careful about reading too many books, because one can get confused fast.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Bol. Nanda Kumar Krishna.
Maharaj, you were saying that there were references where Krishna, Vishnu is the supreme and Narayan is the supreme.
Yes, in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yes, so what's the purpose behind those references?
They're not contradictory. What Krishna Das Kaviraj says is, by examining them, it helps make the mind strong. It's not contradictory. Because there's an explanation behind each of the statements that when one understands the explanation behind the statement, they're perfectly right. They're not contradictory. So what's the purpose behind statements that may appear to be, that could even possibly be taken in a contradictory way? That's your question.
Yes.
You know, the world, we're careful to try to keep things, you know, very systematical and logical, and, you know, because that's our training. Western minds are very, you know, methodical and systematical and scientific and all of that. But it's something like my answer. One answer is something like the difference between how Vrindavan Das Thakur describes Gauralila and how Krishna Das Kaviraj describes Gauralila. Vrindavan Das has a certain mood and he attracts a certain audience. His mood is spontaneous. And he doesn't care about the logic of mundane people. He just glorifies Lord Nityananda. He glorifies Lord Chaitanya. He makes no attempt to deal with the rational mentality of worldly people. He just glorifies them. And he enjoys glorifying them. And his reader enjoys his enjoying glorifying them. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is a different kind of biographer of Lord Chaitanya. He's very careful dealing with the argumentative logicians, and he knows their mentality is out there, and he often addresses it. Sometimes he just dismisses it. But, you know, he's more tuned into that audience, and therefore things are very systematically and logically presented, commonly. But sometimes, deliberately, he dismisses it, and he says so. But then, you know, our particularly Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who commented extensively on Chaitanya Charitamrita, they give the commentary that explains it commonly. So when he brings them up, this you know, different, some say that Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu, some say that Krishna is an avatar of Vamana, some say that because Lord Vishnu has four arms, Krishna has only two arms, Vishnu is greater. Some say, and you know, then he concludes they're all right, except that four arms is greater than two arms. But you know, the statements are there because they're true out of context. You don't understand them correctly, but they're true statements. And they're not attempting to explain necessarily the context. It's something like this. Some people, much like the question you're raising, will say, well, if anything other than surrender unto the Supreme Personality Godhead is binding upon the performer to additional birth and death, then why is there anything else? Just do that. Why all this, you know, demigod worship and impersonal and this and that and the other thing and so many things? People get confused. Just make it real simple. And then the answer is, Krishnadas Kaviraj answers it, there's the modes of nature. Because of the modes of nature, some see like this, some see like that. And so the Vedas are compiled recognizing there's some persons that won't surrender unto the Supreme Personality of God. If that's the only option, they'll become atheists or gross materialists. So there's varieties of options that are presented. And so some, those that want to find substantiation for a lot of different things, I'm saying, oh, not everything, but a lot of different things, find this reference isolated from the whole picture, and there's the basis of your particular religious faith. Something over there, and you know, it becomes like fireworks on the 4th of July. Oh, I like that one. So there's a variety of taste, and so there's varieties of statements to inspire people to come to some level of religiosity that aren't prepared to go through the whole picture. But those that are prepared, this way, Krishnadas Kaviraj says it makes the mind strong. If you want your mind to be weak and at the same time have an easy path back to Godhead, it's not going to happen. It's not that only someone that can like break their head on difficult statements, they're eligible. And those that can't, sorry, Charlie. See you later. Come back next year, next lifetime. But it makes the mind stronger for those that have such propensity, such penchant. And the whole picture is there. So, to inspire those that have a disposition this way, those that have a disposition that way, they will become elevated. Trying to recall where I was just reading this. Yeah. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where there's the description of Lord Chaitanya's appearance, because it was just Gaur Purnima. And there's a little section that says, upon the appearance of these two lords, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon appearing simultaneously, which never happens, when they appear, the illumination is so wonderful that immediately the two Bhagavatas become manifest, the person and the book Bhagavata. Because of their appearance, these other two appear. And with that, the differentiation, let's see, how does it go? The differentiation of the other forms of religiosity are simply to assist one to be able to receive those two lords. That sufficient piety, yes, that's the verse is, Yagyai Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedasaha. So those who are Sumedasaha, that they have good intelligence. And how does one qualify to have good intelligence? It requires sufficient piety. So the whole of the Vedic system that isn't just surrender unto Krishna is to help people develop sufficient piety. And some are going to take it this way and some are going to take it that way. And that's why these different statements are there, to inspire. But okay, but that can be confusing too. Okay, but it'll inspire them so that there's sufficient piety so they can then come to the position of possibly surrendering to Krishna, because it's a lot more difficult to get persons who are with insufficient piety to accept. Although it's possible, but those that have insufficient piety, it's much more of a struggle. Well, they may be going to Vaikuntha too as their destination. And those that are going to Narayana or Vaikuntha, they will want to be grounded on scriptural authority. To go to Narayan, or go to Vamana, or go to Nrisinga, or whoever is their Ishtadev in the spiritual realm. So there's statements to inspire them to go there, to have faith. Krishna from within their heart makes their faith strong. So it's not a competition, just like with Lord Chaitanya and Venkatapata. Lord Chaitanya's purpose was not to persuade Venkatapata to stop worshipping Narayan. There was no question of dissuading him from worshipping Narayan. But his son, Gopal, became Krishna Bhakta, and with all the encouragement of his father and his uncle, Prabodhananda Saraswati became a worshipper of Krishna. Ecstatic worshipper of Krishna in Vrindavan through Lord Chaitanya's association. But the purpose wasn't, you know, to get converts from thatism or this, that belief or that worship, that mood, to another. Lord Chaitanya honored the devotion of Murari Gupta as a Ram Bhakta. So if one has that love for Ram, then scriptural references that inspire him to have great love for Ram, that's wonderful. Or love for Narayan or Nrisingadev. I mean, the Nrisinga Bhaktas, they're intense. not like in a fierce sense of intent, but their devotion is very strong. Very strong. It's very nice. So some scriptural references that inspire them. So many prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev. Something? Yes?
Maharaj, is there any significance of purpose between the Yadus fighting among themselves?
Yes.
In a drunken state?
Yes. It was Krishna's arrangement, that's the significance. Because who can destroy the Yadus? Answer, nobody. Can the Yadus destroy themselves? Answer, yes. But Krishna wanted to withdraw them. Before appearing, he requested Lord Brahma, please request the demigods to appear on earth first so that they can assist me in my pastime. They should appear in the Yadu and Andaka and Bhoja dynasties. So they did. Now Krishna's going, so he's going to withdraw them. But what can stop them? They themselves. So Krishna orchestrated the whole thing. Yes?
Kaviraj Goswami in the fourth verse of first chapter, he says, Samarpayitu Munnata Jalarasam Subhakti Shriya. And he says that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to give the highest love of God, which is the Madhurya Rasa to everyone.
Yeah.
How do we understand it? Does it mean that anybody who follows Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and perfects their life with Madhurya Rasa, or?
Well, but Madhurya Rasa can have more than one meaning. Madhurya Rasa can mean out of the five. It can also mean vrajaprem, where each of the five rasas are imbued with madhurya. They wish to assist Radha and Krishna in their loving pastimes, although they may be in the cowherd boys or mother and father. They're assisting in that sweetness, in enhancing the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna.
So it's not necessarily the conjugal.
That's another way of saying what I just said, yes. That's my understanding. Anyone else? Yes?
Maharaj, you are talking about the opposite way of saying how
don't go to Keshigat.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this, some people say that literally by being in this process you people become hard hearted.
No, that's not what Rupa Goswami says at all. No.
So how can I help them?
Be transcendental. Love your family. Show by example. Our great acharyas were not that were householders, were transcendentally wonderful in their execution of their loving service unto Krishna, which included their family members. But like Queen Kunti, her prayer was, my dear Lord, please remove the material attachment, the material portion of my affinity. Which means leave the spiritual portion, but please take away the material portion. So that the love for family members, etc., can be on the basis of spiritual attraction and spiritual service. Is that all right? Yes?
Yes, Maharaj. Thanks, Maharaj, for the class, but I have one more additional clarification I need. In the class you said, mind has to be strong to move forward further in the spiritual progress. I have a And you also mentioned that Purna's case, even though she is like a Rakshasi, but she was able to go to Goloka Vrindavan because of her motherly affection she showed at the time. So my question is, Krishna was there at that particular point of time.
Krishna was where?
Present
on the earth. Okay.
Present on the earth.
Okay.
So she was able to, whatever she showed, Krishna reciprocated, and then, you know. But in this current world, I know there is Krishna. I think in the morning you made a statement. I'm not sure whether I heard it. Prabhupada said, like, if you take one step, Krishna takes 10 steps. I understand it theoretically, but I'm not really able to substantiate that and then apply it in my everyday life. How do I really do that? Because I'm trying to understand how the mercy of Krishna is flowing in my life.
I have two questions to respond to your question. The second part of what you said was clear, the reference about Putana, Krishna accepted her service and overlooked the evil deed that she was intending. The first part, you said it very quickly and I didn't capture it. Could you say the first part again?
In order to move forward or progress in spiritual life, one's mind needs to be pretty strong. So my mind is...
One's mind?
Yeah, mind has to be very strong.
Ah, okay. So that's one premise.
Yes.
So your question is, when your mind isn't very strong, what to do? Is that like the...
I feel my mind is not very strong because the scenario which I said, Krishna was there, and all, there was mercy.
Okay.
It was reciprocated.
The current situation is, after Krishna's departure, Krishna appeared again. How did Krishna appear again? And we're trying to provide the opportunity for Krishna's association, although you're not Putana. You're eligible for Krishna's association. And by regularly hearing, then that will purify and strengthen the mind. And just like this question that Nandakishore Krishna was asking, that is, why different statements? So the mind can become strong not just by like austerity, forced austerity that may be practiced in other ages, but by, or someone may try in the present age, make the mind strong by difficult austerities. By the hearing and trying to discern or receive the message from the scriptures with great care and attention. That you don't pay attention, you don't get it. You pay attention, you may or may not get it. You just keep paying attention. Someone was recently sharing with me, you know, I read and it's not going in. And I read again and it's not going in. And I can spend a half an hour on one paragraph and it doesn't go in. I can realize after half an hour reading the paragraph so many times, I don't recall what I don't understand or even recall what I just read. Like my brain is so dull. Sometimes that is, somebody encounters a problem like that. The mind is not strong, as you're saying. But then continue, because that's the means of making the mind strong. That we need something else. The drowning man doesn't need to grasp straws and then he can float. But that which is actual shelter, one can take shelter and then be relieved. One of the biggest parts, this back to this morning's question that you asked, the other 50% is, while making effort, it's taking shelter. And there's with that extra strength. But so that's what's required. Take shelter. And then that which is, you know, the limit of my capacity of mental strength all of a sudden becomes stronger. Because it's not just dependent upon me and my effort. Well, that's a transcendental concept. Does it work? Answer, yes, it works. Oh. Well, but my mind is not so strong to try it out. Well, keep performing the practice of sadhana bhakti and be prepared to take that extra step and experience Krishna's reciprocation when you do. A little adventuresome and bold, trusting in Krishna. Okay. Something over here on the lady's side. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada Maharaj.